My dad would say, there's a big storm coming. And the sky was just cloudy. There wasn't anything unusual. The wind wasn't blowing. And yet he knew somehow. And so this particular day, he said, boys, we're in for a bad one. And it was snowing just ever so little bit as we were walking to school. Didn't amount to much. As the morning wore on and we were doing our lessons, and the snow is coming down ever harder, we can feel the wind. The wind is rattling the schoolhouse windows. The wind is sending the snow under the windows, and it's building up on the windowsills on the inside of the school. Did that at home too, by the way. And it's sort of marvelous, really. As a kid, you look at that and say, this is really kind of interesting. And as we got to recess time, Ms. Thompson, our teacher that year, said, I don't think you ought to go outside for recess. She never said that, but she knew what was going on. You could not see 10 feet in front of your face by recess time. It was snowing so hard. Around 2 o'clock, maybe 2:30, the fathers began arriving. Now, mind you, nobody drove anything. They all walked. My dad finally comes and he stomps off his boots, and it's cold. It's getting really cold too. And these fathers are all gathered around the stove, and they're slapping their hands together, and they're warming them on the stove. And Miss Thompson is saying, well, what's it like out there? And the fact that it was dangerous, we all knew that. Nobody talked about that. You didn't worry much about that because we'd been there before. Well, now we're heading out the door, and of course we got our big boots on, and Pa is making the trail. Now, you learn in the winter, a deep snow, that you don't everybody walk alongside of everybody else. You walk in a single line. Pa's at the head of the pack, and Daryl's next, and Dial's next, and I'm bringing up the rear. I can hardly see Pa in the front, and it's only a few feet ahead. And the snow is blowing, and it's hitting us in the face, and it's hitting us in the eyes, and it is terrible. And the wind is howling so that we cannot hear each other. And Pa says, don't stop for whatever reason without telling me. So we go almost to Miller's place, which is mostly halfway. And Pa calls a halt, and we stop and rest by a huge snowbank that the snowplow had made from earlier snowfalls. And the snow is sifting over the top of this big snowbank and sifting down on us. And we're not terribly uncomfortable. We're sort of excited by it all. And then we continue on. The first notice that we're getting home is you catch the smell of wood smoke. I can't see the buildings, but I can smell the wood smoke. And finally, we plutch up along the driveway and get up to the house and sweep off our boots on the porch. We swept the snow off of each other because we looked like snowmen, each one of us, and into the kitchen, and there on the kitchen stove was a big pot of homemade vegetable soup steaming away. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it was to come into the house, be warmed by the stove, and have vegetable soup. That was just the beginning, of course, because we were safe, but now we've got to contend with the chores. We found our way to the barn, did the chores, and it was eerie. Because when you go up in the barn to throw down the hay, to hear the wind howling, rattling the barn, roaring around the corners, it was unbelievable. And I don't know if it was fearsome, I suppose, but I can't remember being terribly afraid, other than just being amazed at all of these unusual sounds. The cattle, they didn't seem to mind. You'd throw down the hay and the silage, and they were content and happy, was always warm in the barn. And then back into the house, and you might ask, well, what happened when the power went out in the middle of all of this storm? Well, the power didn't go out because there wasn't any power. We didn't have electricity. And we went to sleep with covers just thick on us, and again hearing the sound of the wind howling, and wondering how long this is going to last. And by the next morning, the wind has stopped, and the landscape had been completely transformed. All the sharp edges were gone. It was a land of black and white and a blue sky. It was kind of pretty, colder than thunder. After these big blizzards, the temperature would plummet 10 below zero, 20 below zero, 30 below zero, colder than anything. And so what would we be doing the next morning? Well, we would be shoveling paths. Paths to the pump house, paths to the barn, paths to the chicken house, paths to the granary, paths to the outhouse, paths everywhere. And now the problem that we had was what to do with the milk. Because we had enough storage space for maybe 2 days, and we knew that the roads were completely impassable, and we didn't know how long they would be. So the milk truck could get in. And so we filled up all the cans with milk by the second day, filled up the washing machine and the wash tubs, filled up all the pots and pans and everything we could find. We even made butter. My mother said, "You gotta try and make some butter." So we made some butter from some of the cream. She made some cottage cheese from some of the milk. And finally, I don't know, third, fourth day, middle of the night, we could hear the roar of the snowplow. The snow was as hard as a rock, and you could hear this big four-wheel drive diesel truck, snowplow, charging forward and backing up, charging forward and backing up, again and again. And that was the sound that we heard all night long, but we knew that the next day, the milkman would arrive and things would come back to normal, mostly. And my dad would sometimes remind us that if you think you're in charge of things, you're not. There's something else in charge, and that's Mother Nature. She's going to dictate, if you live on a farm, she's going to dictate much of your life. And you better get used to it, and you better be comfortable with it, and you better learn how to adjust to it.